All right, we're, this is what we do once a year. As those of you that have been here for a while know, we try to share with you information about the church. And for those that are relatively new to the church that may not have been around as long, it's good for you to know. And for us to just try and put in a concise form. We don't have any secrets around this place. I know sometimes it may seem like we do, but we don't. If there's any question that y'all have about anything that we do, any decisions that we make, we'll bring that to the attention of any of the elders. We'll be glad to visit or talk with you about anything that this church is about. You are an integral part of what we're trying to do here at this place. The elders which are among you, these are the words of Peter, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Here's the responsibility that the four guys here have. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof not by constraint, that means nobody's twisting arms, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, we don't do it because we want to make money, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, we are anything but that, but by being ensamples, that's the old King James word, to the flock, and we try hard to be just that. Timothy was told this by Paul, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. These are the guys, as you are familiar, that you have selected to serve as elders here in the church, and we thank you for entrusting us with this responsibility, and I can assure you that none of us take that lightly, and we are not perfect in fulfilling those responsibilities. I'll get to the next screen. There we go. Our deacons. The deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well, for they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And these are Paul's words to Timothy regarding the deacons that serve here among us. And these are Cliff and Chris, as you know, and Charlie and Mac. I guess I need to get that other clicker. I'm clicking a whole lot of times here, not getting much out of it. And Dusty and Jeff and Jody. Thank you. When song time comes, we'll get this back to the people that should have it. I turned it back on. Maybe if I hit both of them at the same time. What do we got? Oh, okay. All right, we got it to move. These are the guys that preach for you. Dusty and Bruce do an outstanding job, as you know. I don't need to tell you that. They're such a blessing to me, as you know. If Dusty hadn't been willing to step in and help, and if Bruce hadn't been willing to step in and help, then this preacher would have submitted his resignation before this point in time. I've just gotten to the point where I can't do what I once did. So their help is critical to this church. And to have somebody with their willingness, Bruce's knowledge, which is far outweighing mine, is a true blessing. What we'll cover now is simply the works that you're supporting here, the mission works. And most of these we've been involved with for quite some time. The India mission work, we work with the Washburn Church on that. We provide $600 a month in support of the Preacher Training School in Sarasota in India. And this school is dedicated to training preachers, but also to training elders as much as anything else. And so we moved to this, transitioned to this several years ago in the India work because we just, we were not encountering churches over there with elders. There was lots of churches being established, but preachers that would serve multiple churches and no elders. And so this school was organized specifically to train elders, and hundreds of elders have been trained and are now serving in congregations, primarily supported by these two churches. Larry, of course, has been here with us. Larry and Holly were here not too long ago. They work out of Nairobi, in rescuing abandoned children and in preaching the gospel. We provide $600 a month support for that work each year. They work in circumstances that most of us have never experienced. The children that they rescue from the streets, the Made in the Streets program, those that they pull off and teach and give a skill, just an awfully critical work. Amen. Ministry is a ministry serving the needs of our military personnel, our brothers and sisters that are stationed elsewhere. We provide $50 per month support for that. Truth for Today, we've supported Truth for Today for quite some time. It's a ministry in print. Our library is full of their materials. Our library doesn't get as much use as we would like, but most of us use the internet nowadays for research. But it is there for your use, and those teaching materials, every book in the Bible is covered in the materials that are back there in many different topics. They are as sound as anything that you'll find anywhere. And their work has been responsible in the sending out of these teaching materials for conversion of thousands of people. We support them to a tune of $300 per month. We work with the Family First Foundation as well. Bill Wheeler has been here. He conducted a marriage seminar for us a couple of years ago, I guess, and was here for four Sundays in a row. He does an excellent job of that work. We support that work for $200 a month. They, of course, work to try and supervise and bring about Bible-based legislation here in the state of Arkansas, as well as strengthening local churches. Campus ministry at UAFS is the closest one to us. This is the campus ministry at Fort Smith. They work with strengthening Christian students and teaching the lost. We provide $300 a month support for the campus work there, and also lunch two times a year. And we appreciate those among you who have worked so hard in organizing that and getting the food there and serving the students while up there. Razorbacks for Christ, we have supported that work as well for quite some time. That's campus ministry there on the campus at Fayetteville. They have the same function as the others, and we provide $120 per month support there. Arkansas Tech, same function, same kind of ministry there. The support that we provide at Tech, I think, is $100 per month. And then UCA at Conway, campus ministry there, serving the same function. We provide $50 per month support to the campus work there. Southern Christian Home is, of course, for years, most of the churches in this area have been involved with support of Southern Christian Home at Morrilton. Some of you have been there and to the facilities and have met people down there and know of the residential facility there for young people. They come periodically here to speak and to update you regarding that work. They provide care from birth through college age for the students or the kids that are placed there. We provide $500 per month support to Southern Christian Home. We also provide support for Perigold Christian Home. This is in Perigold, Arkansas. Provides birth through college care. Also serves as a licensed foster care and adoption institution. We provide $100 support per month for Perigold. And they just do a tremendous, tremendous work. You've seen the presentations they make when they come among us, the facilities that are there, and they're working with kids. In terms of budget information for the church, what does it cost to do the things that we do, and how do we spend the money that you put in the collection this morning, and is it going to the right causes and purposes? We hope that it is. Here's basically what it takes to keep us going as a church. For the mission work that we just covered, that you add all that up, and that totals $2,420 a month of obligated expenses each month in trying to carry forth on that work. And then our local monthly expenses here, excuse me, budgeted items. Utilities, we budget $1,000 a month. That includes our electric and our water and our gas and our phone, web service and our dumpster, and those kinds of things. The two biggest bills in that, of course, would be the electric and the gas for heating and cooling. We'll catch up in just a second. Other expenses, our preaching here at the church for what Dusty does, and I do, and Bruce does. That totals $525 a month. Whichever one of us is standing in the pulpit gets $75 for standing up there and doing the things that we do. That's not an exorbitant amount at all. And again, it just helps us to understand how important it is that we have these guys that are willing to work outside and produce their own income. What that saves for us, if we were to do as most churches with a membership of 110 or 120 or 30, then we would hire a full-time preacher who would do all that kind of stuff, and he would serve the lead, and that's a good thing to do. But it would cost us in the neighborhood of $50,000 to $60,000 a year in order to hire that person. So by not hiring that person and having them on staff, that money can be invested then in mission work and other things to help in keeping this church going. So it's kind of a critical thing. By doing what we do, you understand that it's not as easy maybe to have someone on call for you for that reason. I'm retired now, so I can be on call anytime. Bruce is retired. It's not as easy as it would be if we were paying somebody full-time and stayed here in the office and did the other things that are associated with full-time work. But we've made that commitment a long time ago, and we've kind of stuck with it, up at least till now. Cleaning, $600 a month to keep the building clean. It's a sizable facility, and the ladies that work with this and gentlemen do a good job of keeping this clean. I need to go back to that. I didn't mention the rest of it. Bookkeeping is $200 a month. Building supplies, we budget $250. Literature, $200. Insurance, $300. Local benevolence, we budget $800 a month for local benevolence. That makes the total of local monthly expense $3,875 per month to do those things. When you add our mission work and all of the other local expenses together, then that totals $295. Our church income... Over the last 5 months, counting through January, not counting February, our monthly income over the last 5 months has been $11,841 average per month. That averages per week to $2,960 per week in our contribution. Our income less expenses leaves a total of $5,500 left over. I encourage you not to cut your contribution. Even though we have more money, we try to have more money coming in than we send out, obviously. But the money that is left over is likewise committed. Our building payment is $2,695 a month. Also, an extra principal payment each month of $440 is made. Our effort is to keep a minimum amount of $10,000 in the treasury to be available for unanticipated expenses. We don't keep a lot of money around this building or anything like that. Anything above that minimum, so when we look at the figures at the end of the month, whatever's over $10,000 that we have, we apply to the payment of the principal on our building loan. We also put our fifth Sunday contribution is designated toward early payment of that loan, and our desire, of course, continues as it has been in the past to pay that off as quickly as we can so that those monies can be used for other important things. We project that we'll have it paid off in another 10 years and think that we can. We made our first payment on the loan March the 1st of 2009, so just right at 5 years ago when we made our first payment on the church loan. The loan that we took out was for $600,000, a little over $600,000. The total that we still owe is $396,000, a little over that. We paid about $203,000 or $204,000 back at this time, including the February payment. So we're making progress, as you can obviously tell. We're paying that off about at the rate of about $40,000 a year. Church attendance. Well, I'm glad we have folks come. It'd be hard to preach if we didn't have anybody here. If everyone in our directory that could attend did attend, we'd have a total of 143 present for worship. Any added attendance above that would involve visitors. Statistics show that churches average no more than 80% of their membership on any given Sunday. Given that statistic, our average attendance on Sunday morning should be about 110, which is about where we run. 115, had 111 last Sunday, because we're not any different than most other congregations you will encounter. That 20% is out visiting Aunt Jane and Grandpa George and other folks, and out sick and are out traveling on vacation or holiday. So that's, we lose about 20% of folks every Sunday to that. Over the last 5 months, our weekly attendance average on Sunday morning has been 115. And just some statements after that. Our tendency in America is to judge success of a church by church attendance. So if the numbers are big out there, we kind of like that, and we view that church as being successful. But I remind us of what Bruce was talking about on Wednesday night, not a couple of weeks ago, as we're looking through the Old Testament. David was forbidden to number the fighting men in Israel and did so anyway, but was punished, greatly punished for that transgression. So we want to guard against David's mistake while we go ahead and continue to keep a numbers board out there. Please don't judge the success of this church or the strength of our faith on the basis of numbers on the board. Just some reminders. We have a wonderful facility. Visitors that come in, funerals that we host, weddings or other things that bring in people from the community, neighboring churches that visit for meetings or other things, are always impressed by what you have done here, by what you are providing here in this congregation. We're thankful to each of you for your part in that. This building is just that. There's nothing holy about the building, but there is everything holy about the assembly when the church comes together. It's available for use. A building that just sits unoccupied and unused might as well not even be there. So we want the building to be used. If you have a family function that you would like to use the downstairs area for, then it's there for that purpose. There's no cost or charge for that except just cleaning it up and getting it back in the shape it was before the event. And several of you do use facilities for family functions, and that's a good use for it. If you need to use the building for anything like that or would like to use the building, wedding or whatever, you don't have to sign up for funerals, but weddings or reunions or birthdays or whatever you might be wanting to use it for, see Chris or Charlie. And there's a sign-up calendar that's kept in the library. The 2015 calendar is back there. Some events are already on it. So if you have anything in mind for using it this year, the year 2015, go ahead and get signed up for that as soon as you can. Weddings or funerals that utilize the auditorium are reminded that we use a cappella music only up here in the auditorium. use of the building for worship or for funerals of church members or others always takes precedent over all other uses, and occasionally there will be a conflict of some kind, but those uses have precedence. We also open the building during times of bad weather to serve as a storm shelter for the community. The downstairs area is an excellent place for that. During times of worship, you'll find one of our men always stationed in the foyer to provide assistance to those who may need it. And as a safety measure, while the rest of us are in the auditorium or in the classrooms, these men we call our ushers, and they're not ushering you to your seat. We couldn't think of what else to call them. We could have called them old men sitting in the chair out front. But that was too many words, so we didn't use that descriptor. But they're to help, and you know, we like to feel safe in this building. We like to have our children feel safe, and so if you send your child to the restroom or something like that, you've got somebody out there that's going to watch and make sure they get where they're supposed to be and get back where they're supposed to be. And we do have people from time to time that will drop in off the street that we don't know, that are here looking for assistance of some kind or another, and we need somebody back there to greet those folks. These are activities with which you're already familiar. Fifth Sunday of the month activities. We share a meal each fifth Sunday, and we use that Sunday's contribution for early payment of the church loan. Last Sunday evening of each month, we worship with singing and devotional and share sandwiches and dessert. Men have the opportunity to participate in monthly business meetings. We participate in quarterly men's prayer breakfasts and host those here regularly, shared among the area churches. That's on the Saturday morning. We hold our annual VBS in the summertime with classes for all ages, including adults. We share in the annual round robin meetings. Those will be coming up again here in April. I'll be getting that schedule out to you pretty soon. And then various other activities that we have during the course of the year that you have the opportunity to participate in. Most importantly, three times a week we're here. We are open. You're invited to come. We bring our Bibles and we study and we worship our Father. Let me encourage you to use those times, all of those times that you can use, to be a part of this church family. We assist church families during times of family loss by providing a family meal on the day of the funeral. This is a very constructive way for you to share a family's load during a time of loss. We have some excellent men and women who serve on those days and who clean up and get things squared around. It's such a blessing to the families that come in. We have a lot of visitors that have the opportunity from those families to come in and see a little bit about who we are. Bible classes. Two things are needed for any Bible class. We need students. If we don't have anybody to teach, then we don't teach. We need students and we need teachers. We need both in this place. If you'd be willing to help, then see Larry or Cindy or Dustin or Laura, who work with this program for us. If you want to participate, then all you got to do is just show up. Excuse me. Our men's business meeting, I put a little separate slide to make sure our guys know that everyone is welcome. It's not just for elders and deacons. And we encourage you to come and provide input for us in this. Our routine is to try to have some coffee on, and we visit just for a few minutes. The elders will break out in a separate meeting and meet for a while dealing with things that we need to deal with, while the deacons and the rest of the men meet in another meeting to make other kinds of decisions. Then we come together and meet as a group toward the end. It's a good time. We enjoy being together, and we would certainly enjoy it if you came and joined us. Our library is back here with this disclaimer that all of the books in the library have been written by people who are educated and intelligent, but all are fallible. The only book in the library that's perfect is God's book. Read with understanding the books of men. Read the book of God with reverence. We also have a website. On the website, you'll find our church bulletins. If you have the need to look back through an old one, sermons that are preached by us here in this building are also on the website if you'd like to just listen to a sermon from time to time. And Facebook is available. We're just Christians in this place. There are no professional or full-time staff here. And that's not a bragging point. That's just a statement of fact. We all work outside these walls to provide what is needed by the grace of God, and what gets done here gets done by folks who give their time and effort freely to keep this church functioning. And we thank you for that, but we do need your help. We will continue to need your help. Consider, please, branching out. If you've been attending only on Sunday morning, then you could try adding a service, a Sunday evening or a Wednesday evening. If you've not been attending for Bible classes, consider coming for Bible class time. That's some of the best studies. I enjoy those times a lot here in this church. I believe that's true. I hope the work that is going on here is His work and not just our work. We try to look in the Scripture and make sure that for what we decide to do, there is scriptural authority for whatever actions we take. If He's not involved, then whatever we're doing is not worth anything. Speaking the truth in love, Paul said, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together and compacted by that which every joint, and the emphasis there, which every joint supplieth, and each of you are a joint, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's what you enable us to do here. Here's a mistake we sometimes make. you know, this is our church. This is us. This is who we are here in this place. And most of us spend our worship time here. We're not off about going other places and seeing other people and visiting others. We're here. And that's a good thing. There is, however, this problem that can grow out of that, and that's just to see the church only from this perspective. To see the church from a congregational viewpoint rather than a universal view. What God is doing is bigger than what goes on here at Dayton. We need to see the church from the universal view, the impact that it has every day in this world, because we're involved in that. It's just not that we just have impact here in Dayton. It's that we have impact around the world by the things that we do here in this place. We're involved in God's eternal purpose every day. And it is to Him that glory is given in the church throughout all ages, world without end. So our common work has been going on now for 2,000 years and will continue until the Lord comes again. Salvation is God's gift. The gifts that we give to each other, we give for one reason. We give them to people that we love so that they can enjoy them. If we didn't believe people enjoyed the gifts that we give, we probably wouldn't give the gift. God, Paul said to Timothy, has given us richly all things to enjoy. This church is one of those gifts that God has given. Let's live like folks that enjoy it. When given the opportunity, let's talk to others in positive terms about this church, about what God is doing here. I mean, anybody can be negative and down in the mouth and critical, and, you know, anybody can do that. But let's be encouraging regarding this church and this place. And this is indeed what we do. These are Paul's words. But this is indeed what we do. We commend this church to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, do you feel like you've been reported to? You have been reported. Thank you for being here for that presentation. We'll get back to sermons as usual this evening with Dusty, and then next Sunday. It's time for us to extend an invitation like we always do. And if you're here and not a Christian, then this is the opportunity that this church extends on our Lord's behalf for you to come and be a part of this fellowship. In repentance of sin and confession of your faith, we'd be glad to baptize you into Christ this morning. If you need our prayers as God's child, we stand ready to assist with that as well. You come while we stand and sing.